Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job, we're learning to let go of the past and embrace change.
God is saying, hey, come to me the way you are, but if you come to me, you have to surrender and let me be the Lord and Savior of your life. And you stay stuck, not because you can't be set free, but you stay stuck because you're unwilling to release and trust God.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. And I'm Wayne Shepherd. Today, as we move forward with part two of our study called Being Stuck on the Road to Change, we're going to discover the risks and rewards that come when we embrace change. Mark started this message yesterday, so if you missed the first part, or if you'd like to listen to other messages in our growing archive, you can do that online at boldstepsradio.org. Right now, let's jump into today's message. We're in the book of Mark, chapter 10, and here's Mark Job.
We don't know exactly how it came about. We don't know exactly what happened. But we know in verse 49, I love this, that Jesus stopped and he said, call him. Do you wonder what stops Jesus? There was a crowd that day, hundreds, maybe thousands around. But Jesus stopped at Bartimaeus. It reminds me of the Old Testament passage where the prophet tells King Asa, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, like they're searching, 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 scanning, 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 and stops when he finds a heart that is fully committed, because there he can show and demonstrate his power. You know what that tells me? Listen, it tells me to find a heart that really pursues and seeks after God is rare. It tells me that God has to search for something that is not easily found, a heart that's fully committed. A heart that's fully committed is someone that's all in, someone that says, I will not be dissuaded. This is what I want. This is what I pursue. This is what I need. This is what I'm asking for. This is what I'm searching for. This is what is valuable in my life. To find someone that spiritually is fully committed is rare. And when the Spirit of God scans the earth and goes to and fro throughout all the earth, it stops when it finds a heart that is pursuing him with aggressive, persistent, and full passion. It stops and pays attention. The heart of God stops when it finds a heart that is pursuing and fully committed. Jesus stopped in the midst of making his way to Jerusalem. He stopped his journey to Jerusalem. He stopped. He said, hey, hold it. I hear that man. I hear the cry. And I'm sure that something awakened in Jesus' spirit as he responded to the desperate cry of a man that was calling out from the bottom of his heart to Jesus. The Bible says that, it tells us in verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, call him. You know, I love the contrast. People around him are saying, be quiet. You're embarrassing us. Pipe it down. And Jesus says, bring him. Some people are saying, push him away. Jesus says, bring him closer. Next time you see someone weeping at the altar in brokenness before Jesus, before you scratch him out as a fanatic, maybe that's the very person that's getting the heart and attention of God. Yeah. It's not always the lofty, eloquent prayers. It's not the well-crafted vocabulary. It's not the poetic sounding oratory as someone reaches out to God. Sometimes it's the weeping of a sobbing heart that just says, I need you, Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus stopped and he said, call him. So they called the blind man. Cheer up. Sounds British. Cheer up. On your feet. He's calling. Verse 50. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. I want to pause for a second there because I think that we can just read over this and not really understand what is happening here. Jesus has just called them. The disciples go to them. The crowd is quieted down. And someone touches Bart and says, hey, Bart, settle down. Settle, listen. The Messiah is calling you. Here's the response of Bart. Bart jumps off. Don't miss this. Every word in Scripture is inspired, is there for a purpose. There's a meaning to it. We need to understand it. Don't just dismiss some of the details that Scripture gives us as just though it's secondary. The Bible says, listen, you may miss this. You may have read this real quick and not noticed it. But the Bible says very clearly, it says that cheer up. He's calling you on your feet. Verse 50, he says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. I want to pause on that phrase, throwing his cloak aside. Every Jewish man in those days had a cloak. It was the outer garment. It wasn't to keep warm because in those days, obviously, this is taking place in the Middle East, and typically it's pretty warm, but it was the outer garment. It was the cloak that most people had. But for a beggar, the cloak on the outside served a dual purpose. They would wear the cloak, but they would also use the cloak as the place where people would throw their chains or their food. It was dirty. It was the cloak of a beggar. It symbolized the life that he had embraced, a life that was his. It was the cloak of a beggar. It was his tools. It symbolized his lifestyle. And I want you to notice that when he went to Jesus, he deliberately threw his cloak aside. Now, you may run past that without giving it much attention, but when you're a beggar, every single item that you have is important because you own very little. When you're a beggar, to throw your cloak aside has a bigger significance. And I believe that was happening with blind Bartimaeus is that he was stepping towards Jesus. And as he was stepping towards Jesus, he was declaring, I'm leaving this life behind. I will never go back to it. I will never see it. I don't need it. I'm not going to turn back. I'm not leaving a safety net. He didn't say, hold on, let me tuck it under my arm and go for him in case I have to go back to begging. No, he leaves it behind. There's a risk he's taking. He's stepping towards Jesus in faith. I'm not going back to it. I'm not grabbing it. This life is over. I have been stuck, but I will never go back to who I was. You know, the cloak or the mantle is important. Elijah took his cloak and he gave it to Elijah, his apprentice. And that represented his calling. And he struck the water, if you remember, and a miracle happened. This cloak symbolized lifestyle, calling, who you are. And he throws it aside. He throws it aside because he's taking a risk to believe that an encounter with Jesus will change his destiny and alter who he is. I believe that so many times we take a step towards Jesus, but we keep our cloak with us. It's not a full commitment. It's not a, I'm taking a risk totally. It's I'm keeping my safety net. And so many people are never able to experience what God has for them because they're not fully ready to surrender what they should be walking away from.
Listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe here on Bold Steps. We're going to pause for just a moment. Summer is an exciting time of year when the sun is high and bright and the days are long, but with all the busyness and extra activities that come your way during this season, you might find yourself having difficulty connecting with other believers as you had been before the summer rolled around. So just remember, we're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we'd love to connect with you. You'll find us at boldstepsradio.org. Or on your favorite social media pages. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and we look forward to connecting with you soon. One way we can connect with you, as a reminder, we want you to share your Be Bold story with us, and you could be one of 125 Bold Steps listeners to receive a Bold Steps gift set, which includes a premium vacuum-insulated Bold Steps stainless steel tumbler. There's a 12-ounce bag of whole bean Guatemalan coffee from Good Manner Coffee, and a collectible reusable bag. We're grateful that a portion of the coffee proceeds benefits Streetlights, a ministry whose mission closely aligns with ours, engaging the urban culture with the gospel of Christ. So it's easy to enter. Just go to boldstepsradio.org, look for the Be Bold contest on our homepage. Winners will be notified the first week of September. Your Be Bold story might even be the featured one on one of our upcoming programs. What is the cycle you need to break, the bold step you need to take, and the legacy you want to make? Share your story with us at boldstepsradio.org and maybe be one of our winners. Let's be bold this summer with Bold Steps. Now let's get back into the second half of today's message. Mark has one more point he'd like to address about being stuck on the road to change.
I've used this illustration before, but it's a great illustration. I heard that there is a tribe in Africa that hunts the delicacy of monkeys. Monkeys in certain parts of the world are eaten. And there's certain tribal groups that hunt monkeys this way. They'll take a coconut and they'll carve a little hole in that coconut, just big enough for this kind of monkey to put his hand in there. And then they'll put some nuts and some fruit inside of that coconut. And then they'll tie that coconut to a tree so that it's anchored to that tree. And then they'll just get and wait and they'll hide. And they'll watch how the monkeys will come around and start sniffing and looking. And then finally, a monkey will see that within the coconut, there's some nuts and some fruit. And so they'll put their hand in the coconut and they'll grab a fistful of nuts. But once they clench their fist, they can't get their hand out. And the monkey will jump around and squeal and scream like monkeys do, but they are unwilling to let go. And so while they don't let go, they're trapped because the fist won't go out of the hole. And the hunters quickly run out and they're able to trap the monkey. The monkey feels like it's trapped, but it's not really trapped. It's trapped by its own unwillingness to let go. Hear me well. Listen, there are some people here that you've heard about Jesus and you've heard the gospel and you've heard about what it means to follow him and you're attracted to it, drawn to it. It seems appealing to you. You've wanted to do it, but you say, I just don't seem like I can. I feel like I'm stuck. But really you're stuck because you have a fist on that which you want to keep. And God is saying, if you're going to chase after me, let go. Open up your fist. Stop clinging on. For some of you, it may be a boyfriend or girlfriend that you're living with. Someone else, it may be an addiction that you've hung on to for a long time. It may be something in your life that you're unwilling to let go of. And God is saying, hey, come to me the way you are. But if you come to me, you have to surrender and let me be the Lord and Savior of your life. And you stay stuck, not because you can't be set free, but you stay stuck because you're unwilling to release and trust God. Bartimaeus threw his cloak aside and went to the presence of Jesus. Number three, on the way to change, you will need to be bold in your faith and clear in the steps that follow. Verse 51. Bartimaeus is finally in front of Jesus. He can't see him, but he can hear him. The crowd is pressing in. The disciples have brought blind Bartimaeus in front of Jesus. He's dirty. He lacks his cloak. He's blind. The crowd is around. Bartimaeus isn't screaming anymore, but I imagine his voice was hoarse from the screaming that he had made. And Jesus addresses Bartimaeus, and he says this, a very strange question. What do you want me to do for you? Hello? Feels obvious. There's something about the passion of our heart, the desire of our soul, being articulated verbally through our words. When a child is small, they cry, and you try to calm them down, and you say, now what do you want? And they may be pointing to a toy or whatever they want, they're crying about, but you want them to articulate. Now tell me, what do you want? There's something powerful about articulating the longing of our soul, the desires of our heart. There's something about that Jesus often says. There's something about when someone comes to follow him, that God doesn't just say, hey, I want you to believe and surrender in your heart. There's something about articulating that. And in fact, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. I don't want it just to be inside of your soul. I don't want it to be a vague emotion. I want you to speak it with your mouth. What is it that you want? Even in confessing Jesus, even as you choose to follow Jesus, it's not just about it being in your heart. It's about you articulated it with your voice as well. You have to believe it enough to say it, to speak it. Hey, when I marry people, I don't just say to them, hey, if this is in your heart, if you really want it, nod at me or grunt. No. I say I do. I want to hear you say it with your mouth. I want you to repeat these vows of commitment. I want the longing of your heart to be expressed verbally. I don't want there to be any confusion. And if I marry you and you say, I do, I'll say, could you say it louder and again? I want, I do. I'm expecting this to last a lifetime, so it better be hearty. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, if you notice in this passage, a few verses earlier in the same chapter, chapter 10, verse 35, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and two disciples, James and John, who were brothers, sons of Zebedee or sons of thunder, come to speak to Jesus, and they come to Jesus and they say, hey, Jesus, we want something from you. And he says to them in verse 36, the same question, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, hey, we want to reign with you. Me at the right side, him at the left side. We want power and position when you come into your kingdom. And he says, you don't know what you're asking. Twice in one chapter, Jesus asks the same question. What do you want me to do for you? And in one, he tells them, I'm not going to give it to you because it was selfish. It was about their ambition. It was about their position. It was about their selfishness. But when it came to Bartimaeus, he says, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus is clear. He says, Rabbi, the expression is that in the Greek is more than just teacher. Rabbi tends to mean teacher, but he uses an expression that is greater than teacher. It means master or Lord. So he says to Jesus, Master, I want to see. And Jesus says, go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you immediately. Say immediately. You know, sometimes God works progressively, but other times God works immediately. Sometimes it's a long journey. And by the way, I'm sure Bartimaeus felt like this was a long journey. But sometimes things can change immediately. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Here's what I want you to understand. Bartimaeus had faith. What kind of faith? A faith that was persistent. He cried out more. A faith that acknowledged who Jesus was. He believed that he was a Messiah. A faith that was humble. It came to him and said, have mercy. A faith that was submitted to his master, Rabboni, he called him. A faith that was specific about his request. I want to see. The Bible tells us, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that one believes and is justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved.
So maybe you can relate to blind Bartimaeus. Maybe you started out, but you've gotten stuck on the road to change. Maybe in your stuckness, you've wondered, Jesus, God, where are you? I love the persistence of Bartimaeus, that he called out. And I want to remind you that the presence of God is right there with you. You may be in your car right now by yourself, but I want to remind you that the presence of God has not passed you by. You know, Fanny Crosby in her hymn said, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And I just want to stop and remind you that he has not passed you by. In fact, in this moment, I want to remind you that the presence of the living God is in the room with you, is right there beside you. And if you're here saying, I need God and I've never surrendered my life to him, then could I tell you, don't let his presence pass you by. In fact, I want to challenge and encourage you right now, if your heart has been ready and you've been drawn and you know that it's your time, I don't have to convince you. I don't have to urge you to do it. You know it's your time. If it's your time to surrender your life to Jesus, like I just prayed with someone this past week to give their life to Christ, then I'm going to pause and I want to pray with you. The Bible says that you believe in your heart, but you confess with your mouth. And the reason I'm praying with you is I want what you have believed in your heart to speak it with your mouth. So if this is what you want to do, would you pray with me? Dear God, I've been stuck. I need you to save me, to change me, to wash me. So today, I call on you. Don't pass me by. Like Bartimaeus, I call out to you and I say, Lord, save me, change me. I repent of the way that I've been living and I embrace your way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you've prayed that prayer, if you've made that decision and you had never made that decision before, I want to encourage you to go to boldstepsradio.org and click on the link that says My Next Step. There's a little video that we have, and we'd actually like to send you a follow-up material just to get started in your walk with God. We celebrate the fact that you're making decisions to move forward in God. We know it's difficult. We know there'll be challenges, but we want you to know, hey, you are not alone. So go to boldstepsradio.org and click on My Next Step. God bless you.
One of the ways we want to help you take the next bold step in your daily walk with God. Did you know that walking daily with God is not just a good idea, it's a biblical command? It's also the topic of our latest Bold Step gift, a book by Pastor Chuck Swindoll called A Life Well Lived. And we'll send it to you with a gift of any amount to support this ministry. Just send your gift and request for the book, A Life Well Lived, in the mail when you write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Again, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Or request the book when you give online at boldstepsradio.org. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us tomorrow when Mark presents a new series called Presence. We'll be taking a look at being exposed to and living in the presence of God, and you won't want to miss it. Be listening Wednesday for more Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.